With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant. Disability Rights Montana has filed a lawsuit against the Office of Public Instruction and a rural Montana school district, alleging a 16-year-old boy with disabilities has not received any formal education in 3 years, in violation of federal law. The organization said it previously filed an administrative complaint with OPI, and if they can reach an agreement via mediation, they will not pursue the lawsuit filed last week. An attorney for Disability Rights Montana tells the Independent Record the school district has made excuses about its inability to provide appropriate services to the student, and OPI has not enforced its orders for the district to meet its responsibilities under the Federal Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. An OPI attorney said the office could not comment due to federal privacy laws. Today, Governor Steve Bullock named Galen Hollenbaugh Commissioner of the state's Department of Labor and Industry. Hollenbaugh was the deputy commissioner under former Commissioner Pam Busey and has served as acting commissioner since September 8th. He's worked for the state for more than 20 years and has been with the Department of Labor and Industry since 2012. Busey resigned in mid-August to take a private sector job. President Donald Trump's administration is retreating from a congressionally mandated review of some of the most dangerous chemicals in public use. Instead, the Trump administration wants to limit the review to products still being manufactured and entering the marketplace. The chemicals in question include asbestos, flame retardants, and other toxins. An executive board member of the Gallatin County Republican Women has resigned after telling the host of a statewide radio program she would have, quote, shot the reporter Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte assaulted this spring, Corin Cates Carney reports.
Karen Marshall called into Northern Broadcasting Network's Voices of Montana show during an interview with Democrat John Heenan, who is running for his party's nomination to challenge Gianforte for Montana's lone seat in the U.S. House next year. Marshall told the radio show's host that what happened on the eve of the special election last spring, leading to Gianforte pleading guilty to assaulting Guardian newspaper reporter Ben Jacobs, was, quote, a complete setup, unquote. Marshall told Voices of Montana that she attended the barbecue in Gallatin County where the assault happened.
I was there. I'm a friend of Greg's. If that kid had done to me what he did to Greg, I would have shot him. That kid came on private property, came into a private building, and went into a very private room.
The event where the assault took place included several other media outlets, and at the time of the assault, Gianforte was about to do an interview with Fox News. Marshall made her statements last Thursday. On Monday, a post on the Gallatin County Republican Women Facebook page stated that Marshall had submitted her letter of resignation. The Gallatin County Republican Women website no longer lists Marshall as a member of its executive board. Neither the Gallatin County Republican Women or Karen Marshall responded to requests from Montana Public Radio for a comment on the story. A spokesman for Greg Gianforte told Lee newspapers last Friday that the congressman disagrees and repudiates Marshall's comments. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Bo Baker. A federal appeals court has set aside the conviction of a Ferndale man who shot three grizzly bears that he claimed killed some of his chickens. A three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled Wednesday that a magistrate judge erroneously rejected Dan Calvert Wallen's contention that he killed the bears out of fear for himself and his family. Wallen was convicted in 2015 of unlawfully taking a threatened species and sentenced to 3 years of probation and $15,000 in restitution. Prosecutors had argued that conflicting statements from Wallen after the killings undermined his claims of self-defense, but the panel said Wallen could make such claims even if his fears were unreasonable. The decision sends the case back to a lower court for a new trial. In other bear news, a Montana man shot and killed a grizzly bear that broke into his garage where an elk carcass was hanging. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks spokeswoman Andrea Jones tells the Bozeman Daily Chronicle the shooting Sunday evening near Hebgen Lake was self-defense. Jones says the 15-year-old bear broke through a metal door to get into the garage. The homeowner heard the noise, grabbed a gun, and went out to his porch where he saw the bear. Jones says the man told investigators that the bear turned and began to approach him, and he shot it. Investigators saw bloody paw prints around the property and paw prints on the living room window. The bear had been trapped before by researchers but had no history of run-ins with people. Teresa Brocky, the first Native American instructor to be on the faculty of the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing, was inducted this month as a fellow in the American Academy of Nursing. It's an acknowledgement of the White Clay tribal members' contribution to public health research. Olga Kramer has more.
Originally from Hays on the Fort Belknap Reservation, Teresa Brockie is best known for drawing connections between historical trauma in Native American communities and adverse health effects later in life, like suicide risk and drug use. She says that the biggest mistake most researchers make when it comes to Native American health is grouping communities from different places and with different health concerns under one umbrella and ignoring those differences.
Then when you make that assumption, it's a racial risk, right? If you're Native, you're at high risk for suicide. But that's not necessarily true. Place has more of an influence than race.
Brockie got into the field because there simply wasn't much data available. And as she pursued advanced degrees in order to improve health in various Native American communities, she noticed another issue.
When I was here, I realized that there was not that many Native Americans who even had a master's degree. I realized that if I wanted to do the work that I wanted to do, and that for me was to positively impact the health and healthcare of Native people, the best way to do that is with a PhD.
Brockie says that working with people inside one's own community is a powerful reward, and she wants more ambitious young people to pursue that goal. Her advice to young Native American scholars?
They need to remain committed and focused on higher education and the commitment to give back to your communities, no matter where you come from, no matter what your past looks like. Have that vision for yourself. I think that together we can, you know, improve health outcomes for Native people.
Brockie's next study begins November 1st on the Fort Peck Reservation, where she'll be working with parent-child pairs in the Head Start program. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Olga Kramer.